Oh, we got another one. That's time.
When I wake up in the morning, I roll up and count my money.
I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy.
All my bitches love me, they gon' answer for a real one.
I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy.
What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed, also known as Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex, and I'm glad everybody is tuning in. I'm still traveling on the road, making it do what it do, but I'm still here for you, ready to spit that hot fire. Today's show is brought to you by More Us, the brand new social networking app that's for us. Go to moreus.com, M-O-O-R-U-S.com to get more info. And what we're going to do, family, we're going to have a deep show tonight. I'm not taking no calls. I'm just going to chop up some game with the family. But before I do that, we're going to take a very, very quick commercial break. And when I come back, we'll make it do what it do right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
Now listen up, if you're a rapper, if you're a singer or a music producer or label owner, then you should already know about LegendaryMix.com. That's your one-stop shop for professional-grade online mixing and mastering. Take advantage of their low-cost, high-quality mixdowns and professional mastering right now. Clients rate them as the number one online mixing and mastering service on the net. With 13 years of experience, you can expect top quality and quick turnaround times. Visit Legendary Mix online today at legendarymix.com. Call or text at 347-565-5892 or email legendarymix1@gmail.com.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? Do you give away advice for free? Well, why not get paid for it? Invest in yourself this tax refund season by becoming a certified life role model specialist. You can get paid for helping others to get their lives on track. This is an exciting 8-week digital course that allows you to complete it from anywhere in the world from most mobile devices. Take the first step in changing your life and the lives of others by registering right now at jabayjohnson.com. That's JAVAYJohnson.com. Enter the coupon code ROLEMODEL200 and receive a $200 discount off your first tuition. Limited time offer right now. JAVAYJohnson.com. If you want a radio-ready production that's industry standard and beyond in terms of sheer quality, then look no further than the good homie, Strife Jones. Check out his new website, StrifeJonesBeats.com. You spell that STRYPH JonesBeats.com. I can assure you everything on it is nothing but hits. Check it out if you're a serious rapper or a serious singer wanting to get in the game for those hot beats. Check out again, StrifeJonesBeats.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, family? Welcome back to Tariq Elite Radio. And this is your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite. We are back and all that good stuff. Don't forget, man, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to check out Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. You know, what's interesting about Hidden Colors, man, you know, when you get stuff popping like Hidden Colors, the Hidden Colors series, very successful independent documentary series, I'm seeing now there are a bunch of knockoff copycat versions of Hidden Colors that's corporate sponsored. I talked about one last week. There's a movie coming out that's sponsored by Fox called Hidden Figures, about African women in aviation and space and things of that nature. There's another documentary I saw coming out called Invisible Roots. So all of them have these same connotations as hidden colors. Some of them are more subtle than others. Some of them are more blatant. I saw one today that was extremely blatant. This one was by this white dude. He's hosting this TV show. It's actually a television show. I forgot what network it's on, but it's called Hidden Origins, about the origins of man and hidden history. They're getting blatantly bold with this stuff now. See, when you get something popping off and you're black, the white supremacists, they'll try to co-op you. If they can't co-op you, they'll just steal your shit. And they're real slick at piggybacking off stuff that we get popping. You know, this happened with my book, The Art of Mackin'. When I did my first book, The Art of Mackin', and I talked about this many times, you know, The Art of Mackin' was a hot book when it came out, independent book that was outselling a lot of books that the majors were putting out. So they're not going to be undone. So what they would do, they would piggyback off of The Art of Mackin' book. They put out a book, one of the major publishers put out a book called Mack Tactics, The Art of Getting Women. It was something like that, but it had the word art and it had the word Mack in it. So now when people Googled or looked up The Art of Mackin', their books came up too. And that's the same thing they're doing with all of these other knockoff documentaries and TV shows. So now when people go to Amazon and go to these other websites Googling and looking up hidden colors, they type up the word hidden and history and all this. So all of these other hidden movies are going to pop up too. They're piggybacking off us. See, that's what the vultures do. And I'm not surprised, by the way. I'm not surprised whatsoever. This is why, you know, we got to get our own thing popping. And don't let people from the dominant society tell you that there's no audience for what you want to do as far as empowerment. Because they will try to discourage many black people by telling them there is no audience for any kind of black empowerment talk. Come on now, we need some more soul planes. We need some more cutting a jig and shucking and jiving. That's what we need. So when black people are saying, no, we want something more substantive. We want something that has more fiber in it. The dominant society, they tell us no. And when we create it on our own, then they are the first ones jumping on the bandwagon. That's why our brother Nate Parker has his movie coming out, the Nat Turner movie. I'm dying to see how that's going to look and what that's about. But, you know, they're on the bandwagon now. And that's why we got this new social networking app coming out. And shout out to everybody who supported and supporting the social networking app that we have coming out called More Us, MOORUS. You guys can go to moreus.com and support the Indiegogo page we have. We're at, while I'm talking, I'm going to take a look at it, because I think we're at like 23, 24,000 right now. So we're doing very good, and we still have a couple of months to go with the funding. So we're going to get that thing popping with the More Us site. Now, the More Us app is basically a social networking app that's centered around melanoid empowerment. It's going to be centered around conversations and dialogue about building and what we can do to ultimately empower ourselves as a black group. And do you know that there are people that are already a little salty about the More Us app? It's not even out yet. It's going to be out in a couple of months. But the white supremacists are mad at that too. I was looking at online, somebody showed me a link of one of these computer geek websites. And that's another thing. Many of these computer geeks are some of the biggest white supremacists out there. Some of these internet nerds, they are bleeding white supremacists. But somebody showed me a link of one of these computer tech geek nerd sites. And they had a forum talking about the More Us site. They were like, yeah, the blacks about to come out with some type of app. Yeah, what if we came out with an app that's all white? They'd be mad, huh? It's reverse racism. Here they go. Talking that dumbass reverse racism bullshit. You already got racist sites like Stormfront, which is White Supremacist Central, 4chan. There's a lot of white supremacy on there. Hell, anywhere where the white supremacists congregate is a white supremacist site. Yahoo message board, that's nothing but nigger fest. We hate niggers. We hate, that's all you see on Yahoo's website, Yahoo news groups. That's all you see. So the minute, hell, we take it another step, Facebook, all the white supremacists, they get to keep their pages up on Facebook, and we're the only ones getting flagged and banned. So the minute we say, hey, since y'all want to call us niggas and jigaboos and talk crazy at us on all of these other so-called mainstream sites, well, we'll just go ahead and get our own thing on this side of town over here. We'll get our own site where we can discuss issues without being your niggas, without being your monkeys, without being all that, and y'all still mad. These people are literally, and I'm looking at some of these geek boards, they're talking about, yeah, when that site goes up, we need to bomb the site. You know, they're trying to come up with ways to hack it, and they're already talking about it. They're already talking about hacking it and spamming it and all that. So that's why preemptively, we know that we're going to have a lot of people moderating the site. The site is going to start off as an app, so it's going to be very difficult to hack. I've been talking with my development team about making sure it cannot be hacked and all that stuff. So we're covering all of that. But it's just interesting to see how salty the white supremacists get when we want to get off the plantation. You dig? See, just like with our entertainers, like Beyonce, she wants to talk about her blackness and talk about how proud she is to be a black person. All of a sudden, the white supremacists are talking about not doing security at her concerts. They're trying to make her apologize for being so-called racist. So we got to stop being afraid to stand up for ourselves and do for ourselves, because the white supremacists are fine and dandy when we're willing to be on the plantation and be up under them begging and scratching. But I digress. And speaking of begging and scratching, I saw a website. The New York Times, let me look at this site. I'm looking at it while I'm talking, family. The New York Times ran a story today. Well, no, they ran it yesterday. Let me look at what the date is to be sure. Yeah, it was yesterday. Y'all need to see this. The name of the article is called A Composer and His Wife, Creativity Through Kink. I want y'all to Google this story. Y'all, you gotta see it. A Composer and His Wife, Creativity Through Kink, K-I-N-K. Now, that's a double entendre, by the way, because kink means hair. You can use that as black hair. They call our hair kinky. And they also call behavior, which is sexually deviant, they call that kink or kinky behavior. And I think this article is really about both. They use that term for a reason. But this, the article is about a white male. He's from Austria. No, I think he's from Germany somewhere. And he's married to this black woman, this bunny ruckus looking Negro bedwench. And that's exactly what she is. She's an overweight, middle-aged black female with blonde hair. That bunny ruckus type that I've always talked about. I've warned people about these bunny ruckus types. But the thing is, this sister has a blog, and I'm using the word sister very lightly. She's married to this guy. Now, this guy in the article, he's struggling with his homosexuality. He struggles with his homosexuality, but he's some type of music composer. And he's supposed to be some kind of very good composer, but he has a real freaky sexual life. He's sexually confused. And his wife, the black woman, is into race play fetishes where she's into being dominated by white men. She has a blog herself called The Perverted Negress. I'm not making this up. You have to see it. And I've talked about this again, where you have a lot of these black females out here, many of them these black feminists, who have this fetish about being pissed on, tied up, and abused and dominated by white males. It's a whole fetish community where they get off on this shit. And she refers to this white dude, her husband, as her lord and master. It's some real sick, perverted shit. And I'm wondering why is the New York Times running a story on this bullshit? Because I've been talking about this for a long time. But now the New York Times, they're running stories on this, and I want to know what kind of message they're trying to convey here. Because, see, what happens is that you get these sisters out here, these bunny ruckuses and these Negro bedwinches, who get with these sexually perverted white males. And a lot of times when you see these overweight, over the hill, bunny ruckus type sisters with a white male, many times the white male is gay. A lot of gay white dudes or white dudes with all types of crazy sexual fetishes, they will go to the black community and get up with a black female because they know that they can get away with doing shit with black females that they could not get away with doing with white women, which is this dominating thing and spitting and pissing and keeping people in cages. They do a lot of that shit with black women. Also, they will mess with your kids. That happens a lot in these so-called interracial relationships where you have a perverted white male and a Negro bedwinch. These Negro bedwinches be letting these perverted white dudes fuck with their kids. Let's put this shit on the table and just keep it 110. I talked about that with that whole DeBarge family. L. DeBarge, Bunny DeBarge, the whole DeBarge family, their family was into all that. Their father was a French white dude, had a poor ghetto black mother, a wife. The DeBarge mother was a lady from the hood. And this white dude was abusive to her in the marriage. And he was also molesting all the kids for years. And that woman sat up and let that dude molest her kids like that. She knew what was going on. So my thing is this. We got to watch these people when they use certain terms and code words. Because again, these so-called black pretend feminists, many of these women with these crazy fetishes, they are the first ones to claim that they're feminists as black people. Usually that's a dog whistle and a code word to let the white supremacist male know that, hey, I'm available to be your bedwinch. So we got to watch certain people and watch certain words that are used and tossed around and really see what they really mean. Because in the white community, when a white woman says she's a feminist, that means she's doing something for white women. But when a black female says that she's a feminist, normally they cannot point to what they're actually doing for other black women or women in general. And people don't claim something for no reason. There's a reason why they use certain terms, and usually the black so-called pretend feminists are the Negro bedwinches of somebody who's classified as a white supremacist. So we have to understand words, family. Our brother Neely Fuller talks to us about understanding words and how words are used. And black folks, we got to understand words and code terms and all of this stuff. And that brings us to Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Because a lot of people now are talking about my Don't Vote campaign. And I still have the Don't Vote campaign. I've been tweeting and Instagramming the Don't Vote campaign. Now, for those who don't know, my Don't Vote campaign is basically letting black people know, hey, we're going to have to leverage our vote. So we do not vote for the Republicans. We do not vote for the Democrats. We're going to have to pull out and vote independent and vote locally. Now, some people, some coons in plantation Negroes will miss that part of what I'm saying. They start talking all this dumb slave shit. Well, we got to vote now. Our ancestors, man, come on, we got to vote. My mama and daddy fought for us to vote. No, nigga. You don't have to do anything. If you're going to vote, you need to vote locally where it counts. But just having these politicians come out running a game on us every 4 years and we go for it, those days are over. We got to be smarter than that. We're going to have to be more politically astute than that. Black people have been getting shitted on for the last 8 years under the Democrats, under Obama. And nobody says nothing. And now that it's election time, everybody's coming around courting the black vote, so to speak. and we're not even leveraging the vote. We're not saying, hey, wait a minute, we need to get something if we give our vote. We are the only group who refuse to ask for anything in return for their vote. That's retarded. And then black folks start pretending that these people are offering something, just like with Obama. People pretend that Obama is offering black folks something. People start talking about, well, Obama had gave some black farmers some money. There was some black farmers, a very small group, who had a class action lawsuit before Obama was in office. That's not helping out black people as a group. A couple of black farmers, you don't even know who they are. And that lawsuit was way before Obama got in office. And then somebody sent me a link talking about, well, Obama had some type of initiative for excellence in education for African Americans, so he gave an executive order for that. I mean, what does that mean? He gave an executive order for something that wasn't even tangible. Giving a meaningless, intangible order is not progress. See, black folks got to get off this thing where people throw us a bag of air and we act like we got something. See, we got this whole thing where we gotta vote for the lesser of all the evils. No, you don't. You gotta get your economic game in order so that you can get your leverage game in order, and get your leverage game in order by pulling out and not voting for either one of the people that's out here. Just vote independent if you're gonna vote. Voting for these people, the Bernie Sanders and the Hillary Clintons and the Trumps, and you don't have an agenda as a group, black folks, we never bring an agenda to the table. Now, we will half-heartedly ask for reparations, and when they immediately shut that argument down, we go and tuck our tails between our legs, like, okay, I'm sorry for asking. You damn near apologize for asking. They shut you down because you're still willing to vote for these people, even though they shut you down. When black folks step to Hillary Clinton for reparations, nope. Shot it down quick. When they stepped to Bernie Sanders, shot it down quick. And you still got black people running around skinning and grinning with them. The minute they shut it down, you shut them down. You don't ask for something, they shut you down, and you keep on skinning and grinning. What kind of bullshit is that? See, black folks, we got to stop being the cheap date. Because look, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, they voted to have Jewish people get reparations for the Holocaust. They had no problem with that. They actually voted for that, for that bill. But see, when it comes to us, it's divisive if we give black folks something. Nah, y'all don't let them get away with that. See, they know with black people, we're like a childish, silly group. If we're going to be real, collectively and politically, we're childish and silly. You can offer us some of the most mundane, dumbest shit, and we'll go for it. You can offer us intangibles, and we'll go for it. We're like that 2 o'clock booty call. We're like that low self-esteem jump off that you call at 2 in the morning. You ain't seen her in months, but you call up. Hey, what you doing? Hey, Bernie Sanders. Hey, I know it's 2 in the morning. I'm just calling to see if you up right now. I wanted to come see you. I ain't talked to you in a long time, Bernie Sanders. You know, I'm in bed. But yeah, why don't you get up out of bed and put on something real quick? I'm going to come through. Okay. That's what you sound like, black folks. And just like a low self-esteem thought, sometimes low self-esteem thoughts try to ask for something. Can we go to the movies? Oh, no, I don't want to be seen with you, low self-esteem thought. I just want to come over there and hit it. Okay. And that's what black people sound like collectively when it comes to dealing with politics. You ask for something, get shut down, and you're still opening your damn legs. And what they do, man, they run these Jedi mind tricks on us. Because when we bring our issues to the table, they give us the illusion of them doing something, but they actually don't do nothing. So you got to look at the words. Like when you look at Hillary Clinton's website, I want y'all to go to Hillary Clinton's website. And this is the Jedi mind trick, because you got a lot of black folks. When I ask them, what is Hillary Clinton going to do? What's Bernie Sanders going to do? The most they can do is just start trolling, which is basically acting like children. Black people cannot logically point to a good reason to vote for Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Black people cannot give you a logical answer. And when you ask them to give you a logical answer, they start playing and trolling and saying goofy, silly shit to get out of answering logically. That's something that children do. Now, some people will start trying to lie. They'll start talking about, well, Hillary, you look at her website, she's going to give us some stuff. Hillary's going to do a lot for black folks. Now, I want y'all to look at Hillary Clinton's website, where she talks about racial justice issues. And there's so many Jedi mind tricks on here, because this is what they do. And they pulled this same thing in the 60s. On Hillary Clinton's website, she's like, America's long struggle with race is far from finished, but Hillary will end the era of mass incarceration. That's vague, because you got a lot of black men in jail, but you got a lot of white men going to jail now, because there's a lot of meth use out here. So there are a lot of white people going to jail. So that's not helping out race. It also says, well, Hillary Clinton will protect immigrants' rights and keep families together. Here they go. They're adding us in with everybody else. That same thing that Brother Claude Anderson warns us about. And she's talking about, we're going to defend every American's right to vote. It's that whole shit where we're going to get lumped in with every group. And then they'll talk about, they'll mention African Americans. They'll mention the problem going on with black people. There's a lot of black men out of work. There's a lot of black men going to jail. There's a lot of black men, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of gun violence. Black men are getting killed. There's a blah, blah, blah. A whole bunch of stuff talking about the problem. But when it comes to the solution, which is economic funding and allocations, that's where the Jedi mind trick comes in. So they'll do one paragraph talking about black people, and then when it comes to some money, then they start making the language vague or inclusive. On her site, she's talking about black people, and then a paragraph below that, she says Hillary Clinton is going to give $50 billion to create millions of new jobs and provide pathways of opportunity. As president, Hillary will work to create jobs in communities that are being left out. Watch that language. And then when they do mention black people, it's mixed in with everybody else. This is what the next sentence says. It says her plan will include $20 billion to create youth jobs, particularly for African American, Native American, and Latino youth. That's one of the Jedi mind tricks right there. That's the Jedi mind trick. When they start putting all of these other groups, they start talking about how bad you getting your ass whooped and how bad you got it. And then when it's time to give you something, they're going to lump everybody else in with you. And that's how they get you. Latinos are not being shot in the back. What's a Latino anyway? Nobody can give a real good definition as to what a Latino is. And what does a Latino have in common with me? As a group. Let's just be real. That's that whole minority thing that they ran on us in the 60s. They said, okay, black people got it bad. You're getting beaten. You're getting hung. You're getting lynched. So we're going to help you and other minorities out. So when they start giving out funds and benefits for minorities, all of these other groups come in and take it, and we are left holding the bag, getting what little crumbs that are left. And that's the same thing with this. When they use these words where they lump everybody in, talking about African American, Native American, and Latino, Native Americans are not getting lynched and shot in the back, and their children are not getting killed by cops, and they're not getting mass incarcerated. They're not. And also, Native Americans already get all types of set asides and benefits from their tribal groups that the government funds. They already get that. And also, when they start naming these other groups, understand this, there are a lot of white people who are classified as Native American because they got on those dolls rolls. You got a lot of these $5 Indians out here. You got a white person who's classified as white, but then he also classifies himself as 189th on Cherokee, so he still gets some of those benefits that the Native Americans get, and he enjoys white privilege as well. So that's another Jedi mind trick. Also with the Latinos, again, nobody can define what a Latino is. You have white Latinos, you have black Latinos, you have white Latinos who enjoy white supremacy and white privilege. George Zimmerman is a Latino. What do I have in common with him? He's killing our kids. Anita Alvarez, the DA of Chicago, she's a Latina. She upholds white supremacy. She helps cover up for the cops out there killing black folks and shooting them in the back. What does she have in common with me? Watch these words, family. They use the word game on us, and we got to stop going for that. Y'all got to step to them and stop them from using that all-inclusive bullshit. We need stuff particularly for us, and Bernie Sanders does the same thing. Go to his site. Let's take a look at his site and look at the language that he's using. He's talking in a lot of vague terms. So he goes on. He does a whole bunch of paragraphs talking about black people. Well, black people got it bad. Black people got it bad. Black people are getting targeted. Oh, black people shouldn't have to deal with all this stuff. Oh, black people got it bad. Oh, I marched with Dr. King in the 60s. I got arrested in the 60s for marching with black people. But when it comes time to talk about addressing it with money, this is what he says. We must invest $5 billion to create 1 million jobs for disadvantaged young Americans who face high unemployment. See, that's a Jedi mind trick, Bernie Sanders. Y'all don't go for that. See, he changed the words when it comes to giving out that money. When it comes to allocating resources, they always change the language on us black folks. You're going to have to make them commit to allocating those resources specifically for African Americans. When they start talking about all these billions of dollars they're going to throw out for jobs, the next question you ask Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton is how much of that $5 billion is going to go to black people? Always ask them that. And if they start dancing and doing the Dougie and the Nay-Nay and the Millie Rock and all this shit, let them know we're not voting for you. We're not voting for you. We need to know a dollar amount that's going to go to us, because they talk about all these disadvantaged groups. And then what happens is that black folks go out and vote for them. And then you end up with shit, higher unemployment. And then you're like, wait, I thought you were going to give me some money. Oh, no, you got to look at the writing. I did give money to disadvantaged people. Some of those white people over there were disadvantaged. And that's part of Bernie Sanders' whole pitch. He would start talking about when people start trying to get him to commit to doing something for black folks. He start talking about, well, poor whites got it bad, too. That's why I'm not fucking with Bernie Sanders. He said a lot of little slick shit, little Jedi mind trick ass terms that shows he doesn't deserve a black vote. Don't fall for that poor whites are in the same boat as you. Some of these poor whites are the biggest white supremacists out here. Not all of them, but some of the worst white supremacists are the poor ones. Hell, even the homeless ones understand white supremacy. Y'all remember when our boy Tamir Rice, our young boy, excuse me, out there in Ohio, when he got killed, that was a poor white dude who called that in. Some of these poor white supremacists are dispatch soldiers for the race soldiers. That white dude sitting in the park watching Tamir Rice play with that toy and got his ass on the phone and called the police on that kid. He knew that was a kid. He knew that was a toy. When Tamir Rice was out there playing with that toy, go back and look at the video. Nobody was scared. Nobody thought that was a real gun. There were people walking by Tamir Rice. They weren't. If there was a real gun, if they thought it was a real gun, they would have been running, ducking, dodging. Nobody around thought that was a real gun. They knew that was a little kid playing with a damn toy. That's why everybody was just casually walking around. There was no threat whatsoever. But that poor, so-called poor friend of blacks, that poor white supremacist, act as a dispatch for the race soldiers. And that's what they do. I was in Hawaii. I know I was in Hawaii a couple of days ago, and there's a video. I put it up on my my YouTube page of this homeless white dude walking around Waikiki just yelling out the word nigga. So I'm like, let me go videotape this dude. So he's just yelling nigger at everybody. Nigger, niggers, fucking niggers, go back to Africa. So he sees me across the street and I'm walking towards him, and I think he thought he was going to intimidate me or whatever. You go back to Africa. And I walked up to him. I'm like, man, why are you yelling nigger? And the minute I walked up on him, he was like, if you touch me, I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to call the cops if you touch me. Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. I'm like, I'm not about to hit you. I just want to hear more about all this nigger talk you're doing. I didn't call you a nigger. I didn't call you a nigger. I called that other Hawaiian guy a Hawaiian nigger. I said, okay. And so he's this beach bum dude. Looks like Santa Claus or whatever. He's like, well, I'm Armenian and all this old bullshit. And I'm like, well, why are you calling people nigger? I'm going to call the cops on you for harassing me. So this is the thing. These so-called homeless, poor white supremacists, people can try to dismiss them as being insane or off their meds, because I saw a lot of comments, people like, oh, he's not a racist, he's just off his meds. No. These people who are off their meds and who are crazy and homeless, they know how to maintain and play their position in the system of white supremacy. He knew that he could call the police on me and most likely be believed. They know how to get on that phone and start making false police calls on black people. He knew that. The white supremacists are very good at that. That's one of their main strategies, calling the race soldiers and making up some story about black people so they can come in with guns blazing, harming black people. That's the position of many of the poor white supremacists. They are dispatches to the race soldiers. So he wasn't that damn off his meds and out of it to not understand he had that privilege and power. So let's not go for that whole we got something in common with the poor white supremacists. Nah, some of these poor white supremacists are the worst ones. So we got to make these politicians commit to what they're going to do to black people. When they start talking about allocating all these funds, black people, please ask them how much of that is going to black people. You make them commit. Stop being silly and dense when they come around. Because a lot of times black people, when it comes to dealing with these folks, we don't look at the contracts. That's why we get fucked in record deals and we get messed up in football deals and sports deals. Because black people do not read their contracts correctly. And then you try to hire a cheap, janky lawyer who don't know how to read through contracts either. You hire your cousin as your lawyer. He don't know what he's doing. And you all get fucked. But we got to read through contracts. We got to read the writing. You got these people, these politicians are like lawyers. So when they commit to something, you got to get it in writing and make sure the words are correct. Because they will word things in a way that will have them wiggle out of any kind of real commitment. They will start offering you intangible things, or they'll throw up a smokescreen. They'll talk about you in one paragraph, and then in the next paragraph, they will literally offer you nothing. They will use another word to wiggle out actually giving you something. Just like with contracts. With contracts, they'll throw out, you get a percentage of this, you get 1/8 percentage of a point, and a lot of folks, you don't even know what that means, but it sounds good, and you go for it. That's why a lot of those artists in the 60s, in 1950s and 60s, you pay them with Cadillacs. Look at all those old movies. All those artists would roll out a Cadillac. They go platinum, and then all of them get Cadillacs, and that's all the money they got. You get a bunch of damn Cadillacs, and then you ain't got no money. You broke, you starving, and you damn near homeless. Only person who wised up to that was James Brown. If you look at the James Brown movie, they tried to give him that Cadillac shit. Hey, James, we got your Cadillac. James, like, take that back. And let's talk about how I can own and control some shit. You dig? But the thing is, when we deal with these politicians, black people, you can't ask for something, get shut down, and still support. Because again, a lot of black people cannot tell you exactly what they want from Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. See, black people, we start voting out of fear and we vote out of some type of tradition. And those are not reasons to vote. You got to vote for an agenda. We vote because our grandma and granddad fought for us to vote. That's not a good enough reason, family. We can't keep doing the same shit just because grandma and grandpa did it a long time ago when the shit ain't even practical no more if we're not doing it for a specific agenda. And then we vote out of fear. Oh, we're scared that Donald Trump is going to win, so we're going to vote just so Trump won't win, or just so the Republican won't win. And I keep asking people, what is Donald Trump going to do that the Democrats did not do to black people or allow to happen to black people? No black person can seem to answer that. We got to get off this thing where the Democratic Party is somehow a friend to black society. They are not. You're dealing with white supremacy left and white supremacy right. That's why you got to get something out the game. You have no friends. They're treating you like a late night jump off. The person who want to have a late night jump off with you ain't your friend, ain't your lover. They're just trying to get their rocks off. They're trying to get something from you. You got to get something from them. We can't be that 2 o'clock hoe. But the thing is, if we're going to be very honest, let's be very honest. See, the thing is, a lot of black people, they can't tell you what they want or what kind of agenda they want. Because see, truth be told, with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, black people cannot articulate what they are actually doing for black people. And the reason why they can't, because they ain't doing nothing. Hillary and Bernie aren't really doing anything. I had a sister tell me, well, hell, Bernie Sanders, his heart is in the right place. When you start talking like that, you already losing. That's silly Negro child talk. But the thing is, the reason why a lot of black people are not demanding that these politicians give them some tangible things, a lot of black people are not demanding that all of us leverage our vote by pulling out and not voting for these people if they do not deliver. The reason why a lot of black folks are not doing that, family, is because black people are actually getting something already. And this is the secret here. A lot of black folks, they're not really asking for nothing else because black people are already getting something from Hillary and Bernie. You're already getting something. You know what that is? You're getting attention. Black people are getting something more valuable than tangibles. In the black mind, in the Negro mind, black people are getting white mommy and daddy attention right now. Now you got Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. They're coming all through the black community, hugging and kissing black people, dancing with you. They're bringing the cameras out. They're doing photo ops with you. And that's good enough for black folks. We're eating that up. Let's just keep it 100. Black folks, eat that shit up. White mommy and white daddy are coming out here hugging you. They're loving you or pretending to love you. You know it's a farce, but you just, white mommy and daddy hugs are just so warm and cuddly. You get to dance on TV. I know when Bernie Sanders went out there to Morehouse, them niggas was out there stepping and jumping around and dancing a jig. Oh, I get to get some attention. Ooh, I get to teach Hillary Clinton how to do the Dougie and the Nene. Oh, Lord, life couldn't get better. Don't you mess this up for us, Tariq, with all your don't vote talk. Don't mess this up. They's giving us some good attention now. Black folks are just happy to get the attention. Hillary Clinton would bring you out there in the public and do photo ops. Somebody put on my Facebook page a couple of hours ago, Hillary Clinton was down somewhere in Atlanta. She was taking some selfies with some black children. These little Negroes were cheesing with every tooth showing. And that woman and her husband has created bills and laws that has decimated black society. Decimated. she helped create that whole Black Predator narrative that causes police to target and mass incarcerate us. And we got Black kids taking selfies with this woman, cheesing from ear to ear, just happy because white mommy is coming down to give you some attention. That slave shit is going to have to go. We got that slave shit. We get to get around Bernie Sanders. He ain't going to give us shit, ain't going to do nothing, but he's here giving us some attention, and that's good enough. The slave shit is going to have to end, fam. Because the thing is, man, all of this, we're all in the same colorblind society narrative that the Bernie Sanders and the Hillary Clintons want to portray. We're not in the same boat, because all of these other so-called minority groups, they are against us. And that brings me to the Asians. I'm talking about a very specific group of Asian American people. I'm not talking about all Asian Americans. I want to talk about a very specific group of Asian Americans. I want to talk about the Asian wannabe white supremacist. We got a lot of Asians out here who want to be white supremacists. For those who don't know, this weekend, Asian Americans all around the country organized and had rallies in many different cities to protest the conviction of the Chinese American police officer Peter Liang out of New York, who killed our brother Akai Gurley. Thousands of Asian Americans got together and protested him being convicted. They thought that, well, he should not have been convicted, because their argument, and this is another thing, when Black folks collectively have a low self-esteem and beg and scratch under different people, they lose so much respect for you, they will come to you with blatant disrespect and get you to try to join in their disrespect. Their argument was, well, how come our guy Peter Liang, how come he got convicted when Darren Wilson didn't get convicted? And Pantaleo, the man who killed Eric Garner, he didn't get convicted. So because the other white guys didn't get convicted, my guy shouldn't get convicted. If they get away with killing niggers, we should be able to get away with killing niggers. That is their argument. That is basically their whole argument. They're going around saying, oh, it was a mistake, it was an accident, he should not be convicted, this is wrong, he's a scapegoat. How is he? This Peter Liang is not a scapegoat. He killed an unarmed man for no reason at all, and he wants to get away with saying it was an accident. But it wasn't an accident. He was negligent and allowed that man to die. But what happens is the Asian community, they want to get white privilege to get away with doing that. And that's extremely disrespectful. Now they're mad because they don't get to practice white supremacy, because you ain't quite white. They got their Asian nigga wake-up call. And that's so disrespectful on many fronts, because Black people have always carried the Asian American community. The Asian American community, they got over here in large numbers after the 1965 Immigration Act. That's something that Black people kind of kicked that door open for all of these so-called minority groups to come in. All the ass whoopings that Black people took in the 60s opened up the doors for all of these other so-called minority groups to flood on in here and get all the set asides and benefits that were meant for Black people. But it came under the umbrella of minority, and Black people were like, okay, well, I guess we all minorities, we can share. And then everybody started getting shit but us. And these same people who we kicked the door open for, they want to have the right to kill us, just like the white supremacists. We have no friends. And the thing is, Black people, we've always rode hard for the Asian community. When those Chinese movies started getting flooded into the black communities in the early 70s. We supported that whole thing. It was black people supporting those Chinese movies, those Asian movies, all those Asian businesses that's in black areas. We help fund and support Asian families with our dollars. Decade after decade, Asian families, they've built an economy off the backs of black people. We didn't discriminate against them. They've set up shop in the black communities. We patronized them. These people sent their children to college. They built nice nest eggs for themselves off of our backs. All the hair care industries, all of that stuff is off our backs. And as repayment, they turn around and say, hey, how come we don't get the right to shoot these niggas like the white supremacists do? We want that right. Not the argument ain't, well, how come Darren Wilson ain't going to jail? How come Pantaleo ain't going to jail? No, how come we can't get away like they did? That's mad disrespectful. But they've been showing their hand, a lot of these Asian wannabe white supremacists. And I've been talking about them when they had that Floyd Mayweather fight with Pacquiao and he beat Pacquiao's ass. All of these Asians got on Twitter and Instagram using all of these epithets towards black people. Sunog, which is basically the Filipino word for nigga. All these Asians, they jump right on that name calling bandwagon, our so-called brothers in the struggle. That's why I ain't for sharing any type of benefits or resources with nobody. I'm all about what are African Americans, melanoid people, what are we getting? Because these other groups, we let them in under our umbrella and then they shit on us the first chance they get. And the fact that all of these wannabe white supremacists, Asian Americans went around the country protesting the right to kill Negroes was mad disrespectful. And their argument was just hilarious. And they were saying shit like, well, the fact that Darren Wilson and Pantaleo got to kill these black guys and we didn't, well, that's white supremacy. And white supremacy is bad. Ain't that right, black people? So, hey, black people, you should join with us so we can fight white supremacy together. And black people are looking at them like, are you insane? You got a lot of fucking nerve to come at us with that. And many of these Asian Americans were walking around with Dr. Martin Luther King quotes. They were going around in New York, look at the footage, with signs talking about, well, Martin Luther King says injustice is injustice everywhere. And I'm like, Martin Luther King wouldn't co-sign y'all bullshit. How dare you disrespect our icons with your fuckery? We're going to have to start calling people out for their bullshit. They disrespecting our icons. Dr. King wouldn't sit up and co-sign you protesting the right to kill another black person. How disrespectful are you? All of these so-called Asian American groups, they sat by quietly when black people were on the front line in recent times fighting against white supremacy. They sat down and they were totally quiet about it. Now that it affected one of their people, where not even negatively affected, he just didn't get a chance to practice white supremacy himself. So now you want to cry foul. Because you don't get to practice white supremacy because you got your Asian nigga wake up call. You're not quite white there. And that's why you mad. You mad because you don't get to practice white supremacy because you ain't quite white. See, you, a lot of these so-called Asian American wannabe white supremacists, they get around these people at these tech jobs and these law enforcement jobs, and you get to tell your little nigga jokes with them and they laugh and joke and y'all point the finger at black folks. But at the end of the day, they do know that you ain't quite white. They'll laugh and joke with you, but the white supremacists will let you know, well, you ain't too far removed from them niggas that you laughing and joking about. Just remember, a few years earlier, we were laughing at you, calling you all types of gooks and ching chongs and Buddha heads and all that. They'll reserve some of that racism for you. And then when they start practicing racism against the Asians, they want to come around us with the Dr. King quotes. Hold your own nuts. Don't come around us no more trying to get any kind of support. We got to cut off the support system and support our own black folks. We have to circle our wagons. That's why I'm making this new app, More Us, Unapologetically Black. I don't give a damn who gets mad about it. Other people you want to join, that's fine. But I'm letting y'all know, you come around us, we talking about black empowerment. Now, if you want to try to divert that or whatever, you're going to have to bounce. That's why we're going to have a lot of good moderators on there. But the thing is, man, these other groups who come around us and try to play us because they don't get their chance to practice white supremacy themselves, we got to stop letting them back in the circle and letting them run that con game that they're our brothers in the struggle. They're not. They've proven time and time again that they will work against us any chance they get. Now, when you look at the case of Peter Liang, I think I'm pronouncing his last name right. If you look at the particulars of the case, the dude was supposed to get convicted. He was supposed to get convicted because it wasn't no accident. Number one, for those who don't know what happened, this guy went to this housing project. I think it was in Brooklyn. And it was a non-emergency call. It wasn't an emergency. They were there just to kind of investigate and see what was happening. So it wasn't an emergency. It was a non-emergency call. So when Peter Liang and his partner got there, Peter Liang pulled his gun out. He was walking around inside the housing project with his gun out. Number one, he should not have had his gun out because there was not an immediate threat. That wasn't a mistake. He deliberately pulled his gun out. That's number one. He should not have done that. Number two, when you do pull your gun out and there's not an immediate threat or whatever, you're supposed to have your gun down at least. He had his gun pointed outward. Another mistake, not even a mistake. He deliberately did that. You're not supposed to have your gun out, one. Number two, you're not supposed to have your gun extended. Why is your gun extended? Number three, you're not supposed to have your gun on the trigger unless there is an immediate threat. His gun was on the trigger. And in police training, especially in New York, they tell you, do not put your gun out and do not put your finger on the trigger unless you're prepared to shoot. They tell you that in training in New York. Look that up. Do not put your finger on that trigger unless you are prepared to shoot. So he had his finger on the trigger. There was no reason for him to have his finger on the trigger. There was no immediate threat. And then number four, he actually pulled the damn trigger. They said he heard a loud sound and then start bussing. He pulled the trigger. Then they trying to say it was an accident. And that was the bullet ricocheted and hit brother Akai Gurley and killed him because the hallway was dark. So you can say accident or whatever, but he caused the accident. The accident was caused by his negligence and him not following protocol. And also after he shot our brother Akai Gurley, he did not get Akai Gurley the medical attention he needed to survive. He sat up and argued about who to call, should they call it in. They sat up arguing knowing that Akai Gurley was hit. So they sat up going back and forth trying to cover their asses, letting that brother die. That wasn't an accident either. So they can miss me with that. It was an accident shit. And their whole argument is that, well, he was a rookie. He was scared. Well, goddammit, if you that scared and you got to walk off in black areas with your gun out and you busting shots every time you hear a sound, well, you shouldn't have been a damn cop. Go get your job. Go get a job at Panda Express or some shit like that. You shouldn't have been a cop. See, we don't let them run that game on us. They come around. I saw a lot of so-called Asian American wannabe white supremacists walking around with signs. Yes, you know, Kai Gurley, it's so sad. It's sad what happened to him. You know, there were two victims. No, no, no. You're not going to run that game on us. That dude, Peter Liang, should go to jail just like Pantaleo should have went to jail, just like Darren Wilson should have went to jail. That whole shit where he should have got off because the white guys got off, that's a bullshit-ass argument, and shame on you for coming to us with that argument. And as a matter of fact, I think Akai Gurley's mother showed up to some of those protests in New York, and they were booing that sister, which further shows me the kind of dirtbags these wannabe white supremacists are. We ain't got no friends, family. That's why we got to circle our wagons and be on top of our shit, family. More us. It starts with more us. Go to moreus.com, family. support that new app that we got coming out, and support Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, soon to be Hidden Colors 4. Hidden Colors 4 is coming soon. We got to circle these wagons, family, and get it popping. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. It's been so good to holla at the family. I'm going to check you guys out this Sunday on Ustream. Y'all have a good night, family. Peace.